Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Baby, this evening.
I remember back in the day. Yeah, because everybody just crapped on disco after the disco era ended. And then it kind of came back when I was in college in the 90s. Disco started to come back a little bit, and they would have like Thursday nights. They called it 8 tracks, right? There was like these different places, and it would be disco on like a Thursday night.
Well, I only like disco because of Donna Summer. She was gorgeous to me.
You were a little, you were still a little kid during the disco era. You caught
really.
The very end, right?
I think I was almost grown during the disco.
You grew up as a kid during the disco era.
Yeah, the outfits, I just couldn't get into the gear. It just didn't fit my style.
You didn't do bell, you would have looked smooth in bell bottoms. You kidding me? The big lapel, actually, you looked like money back in the day.
Thinking about it, I think I was in junior high school, middle school.
Okay, so you said something, and Chris Half is going to join us coming up here at the bottom of the hour down in Arizona, talk a little Giants baseball and check in, because all of a sudden they've got a couple of injuries that make you go, oof, you don't like to see that. And then now you have players coming back from the WBC, and that's one of those deals where you kind of want to say, hey, Buster, hey, B-Craw. Just go over to the side for a little bit and hang out and rest a little bit. Rest up. Hey, congratulations. Thanks for bringing it home, WBC champs. Now time to rest a little bit. We want you fresh for the start of the season.
Those guys are ready. They just played some serious competitive baseball. It wasn't spring training where they came out in the sixth inning and the scrubs came in. These guys had to play some serious baseball from the time the first pitch was made until the last out was recorded. These guys are mentally ready, physically ready. And I know they're hoping, I'm sure they were hoping they didn't have to go back to spring training to actually start all over again. So I hope it doesn't hurt them. I believe that they're ready. And as soon as the season starts, hopefully they'll get off to great starts.
You know, it was funny last night being here and watching the game, and I can't remember who said to me, they go, hey, Stroman's got a no-hitter. You think they'll let him go for it? I'm like, what are you, high? The Toronto Blue Jays would be on the phone. Get him out of there now. No, they're not going to let him. He had, what was it, 80, 82 pitches, but you're out.
Yeah.
It's very strict.
Pitch limit was 95. I think he had 78. He came out with about 78 or something like that. Bottom line was, you knew that Leland would let him stay in as long as he had the no-hitter, but once he gave up one hit, it was time to get the young man out.
Oh, no doubt about it. So you just said something that I find interesting. That we probably don't think enough about. Because when we talk about baseball, and as baseball fans, we know that scouting is such a major part of this. And we think about scouting, whether it's talking about getting ready for the draft or looking at other teams, advanced scouts who go ahead of the big league club to scout the other team, their tendencies, who's hot, who's not. This is how you pitch, you know, all that kind of stuff. You mentioned scouting your own team. How important is it for you, especially when we talk about the players up the middle, when you start talking about shortstop, second base, center field, to really know your own pitchers?
Yeah, you have to know that if Graveman is throwing a backdoor slider, that if it's a left-handed hitter, he's going to hit the ball the other way. But if it's not to the outer part of the plate, he's going to pull it. So you have to know that with Graveman's slider, what's going to happen if it cuts whatever part of the plate, middle way, middle in, outside or inside. You have to know exactly what that hitter's going to do with it. It also allows you to know exactly what your pitchers throw and how every pitch moves. And you have to know that because all hitters are different. A lot of hitters like to pull. Some hitters can go the opposite way. You have to know that on certain pitches what a hitter will do with your pitcher's pitch. And if you know that, then you get better jumps on the baseball. And if your pitcher's hot that day and he's throwing a lot of strikes, you're going to always be on your feet. You're going to be ready to move. But bottom line is that it also helps if you get traded. Because now you know what the slider does. You know, and I could tell you, if, for instance, being with KC for a couple years and having Kevin Apier on the mound and knowing what his slider did, once I got traded, I knew exactly what it was going to do, and I was able to do damage to it. And so that's why you scout, because you have to know tendencies. You have to know how pitches move, and you have to know how hitters react to them. And if I'm on Oakland A right now and I'm in the middle infield, I want to know exactly how pitches move. I want to know what Cotton's changeup does. I want to know what a guy does when he pulls it. Is he out in front, or is he just, you know, getting to a point where he knows what the pitch is? Can he read it? And so I just think it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to, at the end of the ball day, go in and write down what you saw, because it's interesting how it actually plays out.
Yeah, you really start to learn about your own guys. You show up to a new team, but that's also very interesting. After you play with a guy for years, now you got to face him. You know what he likes. You know what his tendencies are. You know when he's struggling, what he's going to go to. You know when he's hot and he's trying to strike you out, what he's going to go to. Man, the game within the game. And that's when people go, I think baseball's boring. It's like, you don't understand everything that's going on.
Tony, I was in AA with the Pirates in Nashua, New Hampshire. And our closer was Barry Jones. Barry Jones is a right-hander. And he ended up playing with the Montreal Expos, and he was their closer. Well, somewhere along the line in AA, he thought he was the greatest pitcher ever, and he would talk a lot of smack. And he said, one day I may face you, and you, yeah, whatever, whatever, you know. And I'm thinking, yeah, well, one day you may face me. So it did happen. Bottom of the ninth in San Diego, he's with Montreal, and I'm with San Diego. And who's on the mound? There's Barry Jones. So, you know, I instantly thought, oh, you have your opportunity now. Let's see what happens.
My old friend.
He's going to strike me out like he said he was. Well, we got into the battle, and he threw me a 2-2 curveball, and he thought it was strike three. He was walking off the mound. It was called a ball. So now he throws me another curve. We battle. He throws me a big curve, and the ball's hit to left center field into the seats of Jack Murphy. It's a walk-off. So as I'm going around the bases, and I get to third base, he's looking at me. And I go, oh, so you remember that conversation from AA? And I chot on in and touch home plate and walk off the field.
That is great. That is great. And for a middle infielder, it really is, you know, we think of middle infielders just these gifted athletes, right? Because you do have to be a gifted athlete for the most part. There's some guys, I'll always think of David Eckstein as not the most gifted athlete, but he was a guy that prepared.
Very cerebral.
Right?
He understood what the pitcher's pitch was going to do and what the hitter was going to do with it.
And that is the scouting report of scouting your own pitcher, but also scouting report. There's so many scouting reports out there, the way they prepare for each series. You really got to know your S-bomb out there if you're going to be a successful middle infielder.
You really do. And before you play every team, before that series, you sit down and you go over the defense as to how you're going to play these guys. And coach will read out the scouting report. And a lot of times, you know, he'll read it out so fast, you may not remember it. So what you have to do is constantly remind yourself of what's going on. You know, remind your teammates, hey, this guy's up. Hey, what does he do with two strikes? And, you know, so you're constantly out there talking all the time. This is not a game of checkers. It's a game of chess. And so you always have to be prepared for what the next move may be. But if you don't know, then you get caught off guard. But if I'm a third baseman and my shortstop is out there and I can't see the signs, and all of a sudden I hear Roberts, then I know it's a breaking ball. So we're all on the same page. It's just a matter of communication, scouting, and understand what the pitch count may be and who's the hitter.
And that's what gets me back to Barry Bonds, which really fascinates me, the way he can help. Because Barry Bonds, obviously him going back into baseball and being with the Miami Marlins, and being their hitting coach with Frank Menichino. And as Barry put it yesterday to writers, getting into the dungeon, getting into it, and he really said that it was his father, because his father was a terrific hitting coach, that he wanted to do it for his father, and he wanted to try it out, and it really didn't work for him. I didn't think it would. I mean, when you think about Barry Bonds and who Barry is, for Barry Bonds to the grinding of the everyday, to the travel, the flights, the whole thing, what I think they can do with him could be perfect for Barry Bonds, to where Barry Bonds has the type of schedule. He still wants to cycle. He still wants to be Barry. He's still worth millions and millions of dollars, right? But he can kind of pick and choose. Go down to see the AA ball club. Go down to San Jose to see the San Jose Giants. Kind of roam around because he's kind of a guy that we know. Barry is not a guy that likes to be locked down, right?
Right.
Right? So this is kind of where Bonds can kind of like freelance in a lot of ways. He can show up. He can do the community events. Hey, Barry, you know, the same way that Willie McCovey and his godfather, Willie Mays, have done for so many years. And let's face it, what they did with those guys for all those years was spectacular, but Stretch is having a hard time getting around. How old's Willie now?
Willie's in his 80s.
So having like saying, hey, Willie, we need you to go out to this, we need you to go out to that, it's like Barry can really fill that role. But, man, can you imagine Barry Bonds going in for a three-game set or a six-game set to go talk to AAA or AA or A-ball and looking at hitters and being around the cage and talking to guys? And for the first probably real time with the Giants, I know he's been at spring training before, but now that he's just not showing up for the week, but now he's back in the organization, what his mind can do for all these different people.
Yeah, and I think that when he shows up to the ballpark, whether it be A-ball, rookie ball, whatever division, they're going to get a boost from that just to see Barry walk in the yard, because now they know there's a load of education coming my way. This guy has experience. He knows how it gets done. I mean, there's so many questions I could ask this guy. Oh, my God, I'm so glad that he's here. And I think that he, from what I took from what he said yesterday, he's going to really enjoy this, because, as he said, I don't have to teach these guys how to play. I just have to give them a little bit of advice and a little guidance here and there, because these guys already know how to play. But I think what he's going to find out is that, well, they know how to play. There's certain little techniques they need to learn, and that he can teach them these techniques. Again, how to hit the ball and use the entire field, how to go the opposite way, how to sit on a pitch, how to look for one pitch and sit on it and be patient. And when you get it, you have to be ready to hit it. He's the type of guy that can polish up your game. And I think any time a minor leaguer can polish up his game, he can move up the ladder a lot faster. And Barry's that type of guy. He's old school. He's the type of guy that comes from the era of us where we were taught a lot and we learned a lot from our veteran guys, and therefore we could teach ourselves. And Barry has a lot of knowledge.
And think of the two guys that we have now in the Bay Area. When you look at Ricky Henderson and what he's doing for the Oakland A's, and you look at Barry Bonds, what he's doing for the San Francisco Giants. You know, it's one thing when you're a great coach and you have that respect, or you're a manager of a ball club or manager of one of the teams in the minor leagues. But, man, when you get to talk to Ricky Henderson in spring training, when Ricky Henderson pulls you out there to first base to talk about leads and how to read pitchers and the whole landscape of stealing bases, or Barry Bonds, I mean – what would you do? What would Bip Roberts, you're a young kid, and you get to be around Ricky Henderson, because the thing about both these players, I mean, Bonds obviously with the more pop and more home runs, but both were base stealers, both were left fielders. What would you want to try to extract from one of these guys?
Well, what I would do, first of all, is shut up and listen. That's probably all I would do. I probably wouldn't say a word. I would just listen. Because if you're talking, you can't understand or hear what they're saying. And that's what the problem is with most young players. They know everything. And so when you know everything, you have a tendency not to listen to some of the greats. And that's where the respect of the game comes in. That's why I think that sports still is the greatest entertainment in the world, because when these guys become great, it didn't happen overnight. And they become great because they had some type of mentor or some tutelage from someone who gave them that idea of how it's actually done. A lot of guys come into the game, they can play, but they don't have the technique to get them from AAA to the big leagues. It's always that one veteran guy that gives them that one sentence that someone else didn't give them. Like, oh, just stay back and see the ball. Oh, that's all I have to do? It could be that simple. Guys like Barry and guys like Ricky, you just listen. You don't have anything. What can you tell them that they haven't already heard? I mean, these are Hall of Famers, the greatest players that you could ever be around. So there's nothing you could say to them that they're going to learn from you. So in my situation, I would just be quiet and listen. That's all I would really do.
And what's interesting about the greatest players of all time is they're not always great teachers, because it's very hard for them. And this is kind of in every sport, right? it's very hard for them to because they can tell you how they did it. But how they did it, well, there's a reason why they got into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And not everybody can do it the way they did it.
But see, Ricky would do something like, you know, if he's at first base and he's you're talking about, hey, let's get a lead and let's steal second, you know, Ricky's going to tell you, all I need to know is when he goes home. See how simple that is? And then all you have to do is realize, whoa, all I have to do is realize when he goes home. Anything else, he's coming to first base. And that's how you keep it simple. So you don't have to go out there and say, oh, you know, if a guy's on the mound and he does his leg this way and his arm goes that way and he drops his shoulder, he's going to the plate. Ah, that can confuse you. All you need to learn is what he's doing when he's going to the plate. And anything else, he's coming to first base. Ricky was a master at that.
And Ricky did something that affected all of us. Ricky did something that if you played baseball at any point in the 80s and the 90s, and I don't care what level you played in, Ricky affected us. And I'm talking about you, the base stealer, and me, the pitcher, because none of us like doing it on the mound. It's called the slide step.
Right.
There wasn't a slide step. You go away, you can look through the history of baseball. Everybody's got that leg kick. Everybody's throwing home. I don't care if Maury Wills was stealing second base. Nobody was slide stepping. Your defense against a base stealer was having a quick move for a right-hander, throwing a quick move over to first, pitching out as a catcher. I mean, those were your defenses. But they didn't work against Ricky. So they realized that's when they really started using the stopwatch, and you could throw it with Barry too as a great base stealer, is how fast you get the ball to home plate is going to give your catcher a chance to throw him out at second or third. So all of a sudden they made you start slide stepping. Well, the problem with slide stepping is your stuff isn't as good. You normally don't get the same velocity, the same break. It's just different. And I remember you had to do it because then all of a sudden that was like, everything's a copycat, right? Like everything's a copycat. And that changed the fact that now pitchers were slide stepping. Forget at the level I was playing at, because when I was playing in college, you were playing in the big leagues. So big league pitchers now slide stepping made it tougher for you.
Ricky changed the game.
Hurt you, for God's sake.
He really did, because once they started the slide step, you talk about the volume of stolen bases went down. You know, Timmy Raines was still getting 95. Ricky was still getting his.
By the way, great to see him get into the Hall of Fame.
It really is.
It was amazing. Like it's like, did you not watch him play?
And Timmy could play.
Yeah, I mean, it was amazing.
The Rock could play.
And that, too much of it was Montreal.
Right.
Like people just, because it's not like there's not an MLB network, right? There wasn't SportsCenter. I mean, there was SportsCenter's infancy. I mean, a lot of people didn't see the Expos all that much, even though they played in the Northeast. That team was stacked.
Love Tim Raines. Ricky Henderson, Tim Raines were two of my favorite players. And Timmy was one of my favorites because he was a switch hitter. And he could hit from both sides of the plate, and he could steal bases and get big hits. He was a great, great player. You know, it's just one of those things where we had guys who were base stealers in my era. And with the slide step, if you could get 45, 46, that was a great year, you know, because these guys were slide stepping. They were
yeah, where was your 130?
No. My 130 was like 55 in the minor leagues or something like that.
I mean,
that.
You look at Ricky's numbers, you're just like, come on, man.
No, I saw, well, you know, Ricky did it, and then I saw Nixon do it, and then I saw Vince Coleman do it. Vince Coleman was unbelievable
on the turf
leagues.
At Busch Stadium.
No, I'm talking about through the minor leagues.
Oh, the minor
I
league?
Faced him in A ball, and the first time I ever faced him, he hit me a two hopper at second base, and he beat it out. I'm like, who is this guy? And I didn't know he was this fast. And first pitch, he stole second. The second pitch, he stole third, and he was on his way to 165 that year. Unbelievable.
Yeah, Ricky Henderson stole 130 bases in 1982 and walked 116 times. I mean, the numbers are just insane. They're absolutely insane. By the way, I had to bring this up because I saw this today at athletics.com. I didn't realize on Tuesday you and our buddy Shooty Babbitt are going to be at a youth Sports Nation play ball student assembly at a local elementary school.
That is the organization that I work with in the wintertime, and we go through the school system from K to 12, and, you know, we teach core value. It's about respect your elders, respect your teachers, your coaches, and above all, respect yourself. And so we just go back to all the schools, and We do it through music. We do it through sports. We get a chance to talk to these kids and really just, you know, give them some, I guess, some hope and just to see what we're doing as guys who've made it from the community trying to give back.
So basically, we got Spirit Week coming up for the Oakland Athletics. And this is what I brought up between the A's and the Giants, because back in the day, the rivalry between the two and the rivalry between interest, you know, there was a time where, you know, more people were going to the Coliseum than they were going to Candlestick Park, and the true battle between the two organizations. And then it kind of got away, definitely got away once Pac-Bell Park to SBC to AT&T, the jewel that's over here in San Francisco. But now they're trying to, the A's for the first time are fighting back in the market. And it's going to be Spirit Week leading all the way up to opening day. And right now, with the, you can go check it out on their website. You can turn in your Giants cap for a brand new A's cap. I heard that went, that's, let's get something going between these two organizations again. And then that's some Bart on the, where is it? New Montgomery is where they have the A's helmets that are now here in San Francisco, the Bart entrances. And you're going to have Libby Schaff on Monday, the mayor, and people from the A's are going to raise the team flag at Oakland City Hall. And then for the first Bay Bridge game, A's staff, and they're urging people, you know, the BART, where BART starts there at the Coliseum, they're going to do a BART takeover heading over to San Francisco for the first game of the Bay Bridge series. So finally, the A's are finally with this, with David Cavill, the new president. He's all in. They're spending money like a drunken sailor all of a sudden on all this stuff, and it's wonderful to see. The A's are now going to fight back when it comes to the PR game in the Bay Area, and that's, I love to see that, because you know what? That's what they do down in Southern California. That's what they do in Chicago. That's what they do in New York. We're one of four two-team markets. It's very special. It's the same thing for what we have here with the NFL. Maybe not for long, but we definitely have it for baseball. The fact that you've got National League and American League, every great player will come through the Bay Area. I absolutely love that. But I even like better, I don't want the A's to play the little sisters of the poor. I hated the A's, never really doing it. Those days are over. The A's are in it to win. David Cavill is bringing it. Yeah. And the competition is back, and I can't wait to be a part of it and to watch it, to see it. It'll make the rivalry even better.
You're right. And what you said is true, that the A's are really going back into the community now, and they're starting to really build up that fan base again. And I've seen it. I've been a part of it. They actually had they redid the 66th Greenman Field 2 weeks ago and had the opening, and they had the Oakland A's Day where it was just all Oakland A's, and we had PA announced. We had everybody there as far as the Oakland A's is concerned. And then we opened the field up, and the kids played baseball. Dave Stewart coached one team. I coached the other team.
Did you beat him?
We tied, matter of fact. We tied in baseball. But it continues as the A's continue to get into every school right now and build that community and build that fan base again. Marcus Semien and Ryan Healy, they've been out there and talked with the kids. The kids love these guys. And so it's happening throughout every school in Oakland. Libby Schaff is really behind it. Everybody's really behind the Oakland A's right now and really actually bringing them into the community the way they should be. Because, you know, for years, it seems as if the A's and the actually Oakland community were not even in the same city together. And now with the help of the Youth Sports Nation and Stomper and everybody, Dietrich Clayton, Community Services, everybody is now on board with making sure that the community understands what the Oakland A's are trying to do. And because of that, I think the fans are now starting to just say, you know what, the A's are here to stay, and let's back them. And so with Youth Sports Nation's help, and you go out there and you meet these kids, and you show the excitement of what the A's are doing as the A's continue to give away hats and jerseys. They gave away jerseys to all of the little leaguers and everybody, 10,000 jerseys. And so the A's are doing their thing. And then once the stadium is announced, just watch what happens. I think the city of Oakland's just going to catch that vibe.
Yeah, but it's far.
It's going to be Oakland A's all the way.
Yeah, but it's far more than Oakland. You got to take, you want people to show up to your games, you got to take your brand to them. Yep. You got to take your brand to the North Bay, the East Bay, the South Bay. You got to advertise on buses, and you got to do it all.
They're doing that.
You got to do it.
We just did a thing in Concord this past weekend. There's 850 little leaguers that have A's jerseys on. They're going to all be at the ball game. The A's are going to have a takeover at the stadium. Kids will be there. And I think because now the A's have a little relationship with Cal Ripken Little League and Babe Ruth, not just Little League, but Cal Ripken Little League and Babe Ruth, you're now dealing with another organization that the A's hadn't dealt with. And they have over millions and millions of kids and fans. And so the A's are digging in the right pie.
That's Cal Ripken.
Cal Ripken. Yes.
If you're a coffee lover in Oakland, or you're going to be in Oakland on Wednesday between 8 and 9 a.m., Pete's Coffee, 1111 Broadway in Oakland. Stop by Pete's Coffee to enjoy free coffee of choice on the A's.
Nice.
How about that? Stomper and the Herd are going to be there. So that between 8 and 9 a.m., get all juiced up at Pete's Coffee, 1111 Broadway in Oakland on Wednesday. So it's Spirit Week. Go check it out. It's all on their website, all of the details. Now we're heading down to Scottsdale. I wouldn't mind being in Scottsdale watching a little college hoop right now. Actually, the game's bad game, so you're not missing anything. I wouldn't mind. Love Scottsdale.
Yes, I love Scottsdale.
Scottsdale doesn't suck this time of the year.
Man.
Scottsdale in July, you can have it. Scottsdale now, absolutely beautiful. One of our good friends of the program, Chris Half, covers the Giants for MLB.com. Find out about some injuries. Wonder if the guys from the WBC are already back. Lots to get into right here. Hot Stove League Show brought to you by NestBedding.com. That's NestBedding.com. And also The Cutoff Man. Check out their website, TeammateSports.com. It's a Hot Stove League Show, 95.7 The Game. And I got the former All-Star Bip Roberts with me here on 95.7 The Game, and we love having him on throughout the season. We head down to Arizona. He does a great job covering the San Francisco Giants for MLB.com. Chris Haft is with us. Chris, how are we doing tonight?
Hey, great to be with you, gentlemen.
Well, I got to think down in Giants camp, everybody was real excited, of course. Melanson, Posey, Crawford, a part of Team USA as they got the victory 8-0 against Puerto Rico. I don't know when those guys will return, but when they return, I think they're going to get a hero's welcome because it was a great win for Team USA and those three Giants.
I think so, and they should be back tomorrow to answer that question. It's funny. I had a separate assignment which hadn't come out, which part of a season preview. I was, you know, a Q&A with Bruce Bochy, and I happened to ask him, you know, that very thing. What, you know, as accomplished as I was focusing more on Crawford and Posey, since, you know, they spent the whole WBC with the team. You know, as accomplished as they are, might this raise their profiles, you know, somewhat, or legitimize them even more if they needed to be legitimized, which they really don't. And, you know, Bruce answered, well, you know, Buster's, you know, pretty much, at least in baseball circles, a household name. But, you know, for Brandon Crawford, you know, this may have put him, you know, into the, you know, upper type of stratosphere, you know, the way he played throughout the tournament.
Well, Chris, how do they keep these guys sharp? Do they slow them down when they get back, or what's the plan? Because these guys look like they're ready physically and mentally to start the season today. So how do you slow them down?
With Buster, in Buster's case, it's easy. I think he'll want to play more, actually, because, you know, he was only playing every other game. And for good reason. You know, Jonathan Lucroy, the other U.S.'s other catcher, you know, is no slouch. And Jim Leland was just being fair in doing that. But I think Buster will actually want to play pretty frequently. So I think we'll see that when he comes back. And then Brandon Crawford just loves to play. They may need to rein him in a little bit, you know, because he just wants to be out there.
Barry Bonds back with the organization, a special advisor to Larry Bear. Bip and I have been talking about it, Chris, about just all the things that he can do, his great baseball mind. His mind is like a computer. Did you get the feeling it just feels like the right time?
Yeah, that's what. That's funny because that phrase you use, just the right time. That's what everybody's been everybody else has been using. And yeah, I'd have to say so. I guess it's a consensus here. It is the right time. He kind of dipped his toe in the water, so to speak, as the Miami Marlins hitting coach last year, and maybe he didn't want to, you know, get involved that much on a full-time basis, but with this kind of partial commitment, emphasis on the word commitment, you know, he had to do. He's gonna have some responsibilities throughout the year. I think, it works well for both the Giants and for him.
So what is his actual duties? What is he gonna do? Is he gonna teach hitters? What is Barry's title right now?
Just that special advisor title kind of cracks me up. You know?
Actually, I want that job, Chris. Sounds like a hell of a job.
I'll take it as well.
it's just a title. You know, he'll do whatever. I think he has a pretty good understanding with Larry Bear, as far as I can tell, and he'll pretty much do what Larry wants him to do. And it won't be, you know, demeaning stuff by any means or insignificant stuff. I mean, sometimes it may be showing up at a, you know, sort of an event where they need a Giants, quote unquote, face, so to speak. And, you know, what better face to have out there, what better representative to have out there than Barry Bonds? And of course, he will travel probably more towards the middle, later part of the season, go through the minor league circuit. And when I say middle and later, that's because all the teams will be, there'll be more teams in play in California or on the West Coast, you know, with the rookie leagues and all that, you know, tutoring the hitters and that sort of thing. And even, I'm sure, outfield play, too. You know, he can speak to that a lot. And I imagine he'll show up from time to time at AT&T Park to, you know, not get in Henson Mullen's way as hitting coach, but, you know, hopefully for the Giants be a supplement, I guess you'd say.
Well, there's some things that aren't great for the San Francisco Giants, and Chris Happ with us here on 95.7 The Game covers the Giants for MLB.com. Whenever I hear elbow and I hear MRI and flying back to San Francisco, I worry about that with Will Smith. Eduardo Nunez with the cortisone shot in his right shoulder was on that exact same flight heading back to San Francisco. That's a key part of your bullpen, which was a huge struggle last year, and your starting third baseman. What do we know?
Not a whole lot right now. You know, Will Smith, I was not on the beat today. I was working on long-term things, but as far as I could tell, you know, Will was not back, and so not a whole lot was known about him. Not that he's going to totally make the fall. Well, it's his arm, so yeah, he will make the call on surgery or whatever. What the Giants medical staff will do will make a recommendation. And when he went to see Dr. Neil Ellitrash in Los Angeles, you know, he'll make a recommendation, and Will process all that. And the problem with, you know, losing a guy like him is maybe he's not the biggest star reliever in major leagues, but gosh, this particular guy is almost like having two or three relievers in one. He can go long, he can go short. He's left-handed, so he could be a left-handed specialist. But then again, he pitches. He does well against right-handers, so you know, he could pitch complete innings if Bruce Bochy needed. Well, you're going to lose that guy for no. It's tough to put a figure on it right now, not knowing anything, but for a significant period of time, that's for sure. So I don't know who else can step up in the bullpen. And when I asked Bruce about that today for this Q&A that will run later, he pretty much mentioned everybody. And so he doesn't want to repeat last year. Nobody wants to go through last year when roles were kind of ill-defined. So that's something they'll try to iron out in these last few exhibition games.
Well, you know, it's amazing that last year they had a problem down there and they still were almost in the World Series. Just unbelievable. So,
well, I think that may account for, you know, there is a little, you know, quiet confidence they've got. You know, not really a swagger, but, you know, it has been pretty upbeat, you know, despite the losing exhibition record. I mean, we all know that those exhibition season records aren't all that significant. I think they know that, they shore things up with Melanson, but, they do have to get the setup role thing, straightened away before the season begins. But as far as all the other areas are concerned, there are no problems. And again, they're quietly confident they can make things work.
You know, obviously, we don't really focus too much on a number five starter really to start out the season. But when your name is Matt Cain and you have the history and you have the contract, it hasn't been a great spring for him. What are you seeing with Matt Cain, and what are they going to do with that number five slot? Because they just have so much respect for what this guy's done for the organization.
Yeah, you do have to respect that, but I don't see a whole lot of deception there with his pitches. He made a nice recovery yesterday after getting hammered around a little bit in the first inning, 3 runs, I believe, 4 hits, and then after that only I think 1 run and 3 hits allowed, or 4 hits, whatever. But again, I thought without the deception, or he's not overpowering anymore, so he's going to have to rely on deception, changing speed, that sort of thing. And if he's not doing that, that well, it's going to be a long afternoon, or maybe a short afternoon or a short night, because he won't be around very long. I think he's going to get the job, the number five job, out of spring training, to start with. They'll probably Ty Block may end up being in the major league bullpen, actually, depending on what happens, with the other guys. I mean, he may be a fit there for some sort of left-handed role or a long relief role. If they don't keep Suarez in that capacity. But as far as Matt Cain goes, they can't have a deal where every 5 games they've got to wear out their bullpen. So it's he may start the season with the team, but he'll be under continued scrutiny, I would say.
Before we let you go, we always like to find a guy that you've been watching who's been sent down. I know Beattie threw the ball well, a lot of questions about Arroyo. Who is the one guy that you watch in this camp who is going back to the minor leagues, but you go, you know what, I think this guy really could help out this ball club at some point in 2017?
I like the question. I don't like my answer because I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. Jae Hyun Hwang, the Korean third baseman.
Yeah, he's got a bunch of home runs.
He's got some pop. He's got a great attitude, just a fabulous attitude. And not that alone is, should make a big difference, but, Biff can tell you it kind of does. He's got a good positive outlook, which, supplements what he's doing on the field. He wants to succeed, dearly wants to succeed in America, and he works so darn hard. It's all genuine effort. And again, you kind of can't help but root for the guy because he does work so hard and he's always upbeat. He may not go down to start the season. I mean, with all these injuries, there's a chance he could begin the season with the Giants. I'm not saying it's a real strong chance, but, a possibility. And also, reflective of his attitude, I think I'm sure he'd be willing to go down to AAA if he didn't make it, whereas some of these other, the Jimmy Rollinses of the world and whatever, they probably wouldn't want to go AAA if the Giants asked him to. But with Jay, he would go down and try to continue to improve and make it back here at some point in time.
Thank you so much for the time. We always appreciate it. And safe travels back up north, and we'll see you during the Bay Bridge series.
Well, thanks to you both. I appreciate that.
Chris right. Half does a great job covering the San Francisco Giants for MLB.com. Yes. Jae Hyun Hwang that's the shot I'd give.
Jae Hyun Hwang.
Not sure.
Hmm.
I've just been watching the stats. I think he's got 4 jacks. He's got 4 jacks this spring. So he just recently hit one, I want to say yesterday, an opposite field jack. So, hey, Eduardo Nunez has got a bad shoulder. Can't ready to go. I hope I'm saying this right. Jae Hyun Hwang.
Well, I'll tell you what, if this young man can swing the bat during the season like he is right now in spring training, yeah, he's going to push for that starting job eventually during the season because he's going to hit with power. And you want your guys on the corner to hit with power. Now, if they can step up and start swinging that bat like that, when a guy can swing like that, you find a spot for him.
You hit, you will play.
Yes, sir.
I don't know how good he, I mean, I don't, we can sit here and we can read all the stuff that they put online, right? You know, you got a scouting report and Fangraphs has this, and, you, and then all of a sudden the guy shows up and you go, that's it, right, right. But so far it looks like he can play. I don't know what he is defensively. You got to kind of have the eye test. And before you know it, it's going to be the Bay Bridge Series.
Can't wait. Can't wait.
Ah, I love it. This show is brought to you by NestBedding.com. Three locations in the Bay Area. Forget those markups on mattresses. Get rid of that with Nest Bedding. San Francisco on the border of Berkeley and Albany and Palo Alto. NestBedding.com. And you can just go to their website. And then also the Cutoff Man. Your great net. It's unbelievable. If you're an infielder, you're an outfielder, you're a catcher, you're a pitcher, anybody can, softball player, this is a great training tool. What, they can go check it out on Facebook.
Go to YouTube, though.
Go to YouTube.
Go to YouTube and look under Bip Roberts Practice Net. You'll get a chance to see exactly what it looks like and how you could use it on the field. I have a kid, Brian Gwynn Jr., out there doing the demonstration.
So that is teammatesports.com to check it out, and also check it out on YouTube. We will talk Bay Bridge Series.
Oh.
Bay Bridge Series.
Great times.
Baseball's back on 95.7 The Game. And we got Bip Roberts, the All-Star, here on 95.7 The Game. Hard to believe it's over.
I really can't believe it.
Next Thursday.
Spring training comes and goes so fast. But for the guys when they're working, it seems like it's going forever. But for us, it just happens so quickly.
Like, you can't wait to get out of there, huh?
I can't, man. I mean, I'd already be packed. My car would be running. I remember one time taking off from Arizona. Remember Brian Johnson?
Yeah, of course.
He was going to follow me back to San Diego from Peoria, and he had his girl with him. And I was like, okay, yeah, follow me. And so I was driving his BMW. It was a X5. It had chip in the engine. So I'm like, hey, Brian, look, man, I want to – it was an M5. I said, Brian, man, when we get out on the highway, I want to see how fast this thing goes. So we're on the highway. I take off. I think I'm going about, and for all you kids out there, if you're listening, this was just me being me at the time.
Being young and stupid.
I think I'm going like 120, man.
All right, don't be bringing that up.
but let me just say, we're out in the middle of nowhere, as dark as Arizona. But all of a sudden, I look to my left, and there's a red light. No matter how fast I was going, that CHP was right there with me.
Yes.
I learned a lesson that night.
Yes. Did you go to jail?
No. Thanks for Brian. Brian Johnson had already told him, we're coming from spring training. He just wanted to see how fast his car goes. and the guy he gave us a ticket and told us to go on our way.
You guys are not big leaguers. I'm looking at my schedule for next week, Bip. A's and Giants coverage starts at 6:15 with Chris Townsend.
Nice.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, take Sunday off, and then away we go.
It's going to be a great time. I'm going to watch it where I am. I'm going to be in Las Vegas.
Oh, you're going to be in Vegas?
Yeah, I'll be in Vegas.
Well, I just, you know, the season, the way it starts, everybody's got a shot. You don't know. You really don't know. The 2012 A's proved that.
You really don't know. But coming out of spring training, you have an idea of how good your team can be. And you just kind of hope that things fall into place. But there's some teams out there that know they're going to win. You talk about the Cubs. You talk about the Indians. You talk about over here with the Boston Red Sox. Teams know they're going to win. These other teams, they're hoping they win. And so I just love competition because you don't play the games on paper. You play the games on the field. It's going to be interesting to see if the A's can minimize mistakes. And if they minimize mistakes, can they get big two-out hits just to see how many games they can win?
And you can go back to 2010 with the San Francisco Giants, their first World Series championship. At one point in that season, they were down big, and it took them getting absolutely hot, and the Padres had to lose 10 straight.
I remember that.
To make that last weekend matter. So it's really, you know, it's so long. people, fans, you understand it, but when you live it, it is such a long, it's every day, and it's a long, and April, by the time you get to August, if you're still in it, it's like the greatest thing. If you're not in it, oh my God, how do we get out of this season? When does football start, right? I mean, there really is nothing like winning in baseball because it's every day. Like, we've seen how great the Warriors run is, one of the greatest runs of all time, but it's not every day.
Right. Baseball is so difficult, but you love it because it's just the smells in the air when you get to the ballpark, the popcorn, and you just know you smell that green grass, you smell the pine tar. It makes you want to play baseball. And it is such a long season that you have to find a way to get in a groove and stay in that groove. Find what you need to do to get to the ballpark as early as possible so you can get your workout in, and then you can rest, and then when the rest of the guys get there, you're ready to get out on the field. And you have to do that every day. You can't take a day off, because as soon as you take a day off, you're going to go backwards in this game. You always have to continue to work to get better, whether it be on the tee, whether it be out there batting, extra batting practice, or on the field, working on your fielding. Whatever it is, you have to always prepare. Because as they what they say, when opportunity knocks, your preparation has to be right on point. And if it's not, some other guy's going to take your spot. And if he gets out there and gets two hits, then he's going to play again. And then therefore, you're going to get farther down the bench. So each and every guy has to understand who he is. And he's a part of the 25-man roster. And he has to continue to work hard to remain a part of the 25-man roster.
Expectations. Where you want to go first? You want to go with the A's? You want to go the Giants?
Well, let's go with the A's because they're the younger team, I believe. And I think the expectations are, let's not make mistakes. Let's allow our young pitchers to grow. Play defense behind them for our hitters. You know, we have to use the entire field. You have power hitters who can only hit the ball from left field to right field when it comes to average. They can hit the ball at the yard line to line, but with two strikes and a nice, nasty slider to the outside part of play, can you get a hit? Can you drive in that guy from second base? You know, situations like that are going to dictate whether the A's win or lose.
And how about the Giants?
Well, I think the Giants, with their experience and understanding where they were last year and how close they were and bringing in some key guys, they have the confidence coming out of spring training knowing that they can win. Giants have been winning since 2000, and it's just not going to change now. Ever since they've been in that ballpark, they've been a winning organization. And I just like to think that there's magic in that ballpark, and I think the magic, it still lives.
Enough to take down the Dodgers. Dodgers have won the West, by the way, which hasn't really ever happened. They've won the West four straight times.
They really have. And I think the Giants, because of the rivalry, will always get up against when they play the Dodgers and Kershaw and these guys down there. And they always play Kershaw tough. It's going to be a tough West. It's going to go down to the last week of the season. It always does because of the rivalry. These guys, both organizations, have so much pride that they're going to do whatever it takes to get to that last week of the season with an opportunity to win. I think the Giants can overcome them because of Melanson. If he's healthy at the end of the bullpen, the closer, it's one of the reasons why they lost last year. They blew over 30 ball games because they didn't have the setup man and the closer in the right situation. I think Bochy's going to iron that situation out. They're going to be better for it.
Well, it's going to be fun working with you this year. We'll figure out a lot of different ways. I'm sure I'll venture over on the TV side with you, and then we can do some stuff over here on 95.7 The Game. But it's been fun breaking it down with you, Bip. And, you know, it's the unknown happens.
Right.
Everybody leaves Arizona. Everybody leaves Florida. Everybody's 0-0. Everybody at least has some belief. Not too long ago, the Kansas City Royals hadn't won since George Brett in 1985. Generations had gone without seeing the Royals. Next thing you know, they're in a 7-game series against the San Francisco Giants, losing, and then the next year coming back and winning the World Series. Anything can happen, and that's what's great about this great game of ours.
You're absolutely right. And you start thinking about who are the favorites right now. You look at Boston. You're like, wow, this team, there's an opportunity. That window of opportunity is wide open. You look at the Cubs. That window's wide open. Look at the Giants. That window's wide open. And then you start to say, well, the Indians' window's wide open. There's a lot of young teams right now that are on the verge of being champions. So I think this year, when you look around the league and you say, well, who's the favorite in the West? Well, okay, maybe Houston is the favorite, but the other teams have made themselves better. And you look around the entire baseball world, every team has made themselves better, and they believe they can win. But we always know that there's certain teams that they're going to stick out. They're going to be the cream of the crop, and they're going to rise to the top. It's just a matter of who it's going to be this year.
So support our sponsors, starting with Bips cutoff man. It's a great baseball training tool for whatever age your ball player or softball player. You check it out, teammatesports.com. That's teammatesports.com. Go to it, Bip Roberts.
Practice Net on YouTube.
And check it out. Order it now. It is phenomenal for any infielder, outfielder, catcher, you name it, pitcher. And then, of course, you need a new bed. There's only one place to go. Don't pay for the markup. Go to nestbedding.com. Three stores, San Francisco, on the border of Berkeley in Albany, and also in Palo Alto, or just order it right off their website, nestbedding.com. Love where you sleep. Next time we're talking baseball, it will be the Bay Bridge Series from AT&T Park. I'll have the pregame show for you on Thursday. That's going to do it for this year's version of the Hot Stove League show. We got the Chris Townsend show coming up next. And I don't know if I have good news. I'm going to end here on a positive. On the other side, not so sure. On 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.